Dead or alive, you're coming with us, because we just watched our RoboCop remake, and we'll be back in a noodle on...
B-Movie Mania!
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to B-Movie Mania. I am your host for the evening, Jason Halls, Robo Jason Halls. And with me, as always, are the other B-Movie Maniacs. We have Crazy Chris Hudson, your move, creep.
Hey, anyone else's khakis pulled taut with a chub right now?
Paul Brooks, your move, creep.
Hi. That was actually a man board reference.
Mike Hayes, your move, creep. This is wonderful.
Is that spaghetti?
Hey guys, I'm just finishing up dinner here. Don't mind me.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were dinnering or finishing the news. I have to explain. Okay, so Mike's eating spaghetti, which takes us right into the film that we watched.
What film?
Our RoboCop remake.
What film?
What film? Well, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
This project, we'll call it, was helmed by David Seaver? Sever?
Seger. Seeger. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it.
He's done these type of things before. What our RoboCop remake is a bunch of fans found out that they were going to reboot it in 2014. They got mad. And they wanted to remake it themselves, and so they split up different scenes, assigned it to different filmmakers, and jumbled this big thing together. So that is what our RoboCop remake it is. It says right up front that it's sort of in partnership or in connection with Channel 101.
Hell yeah.
And it seems to me that maybe some of our listeners might not know what Channel 101 is. Mike, do you want to maybe just give them like a quick summary of what Channel 101 is?
Effectively, Channel 101 is a website that started in like 2003 or something that Dan Harmon and Rob Schraub created, where people would make 5-minute TV pilots that weren't for TV, but 5-minute in the format of a TV show. They would get screened in front of a live audience. They get vote, and the top five gets voted back. And so you make another episode, and it's just kind of like competition of sorts for that. But it's just a... I got some spaghetti in my throat.
We'll be back in a noodle.
Quick takes!
Brought to you by Subway's new RoboCop Fiery Steak Footlong with Habanero Justice Sauce. Mike, what do you have to say about this?
This episode's going to be a fucking mess. This movie is a fever dream of just the perfect example of love and parody mixed up into one.
Very aptly put. Chris.
Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me!
Okay, we're going to circle back around to Paul again.
I can't be as loud as Chris just was, but fucking do it! Do it!
What about you, Jay?
I just left my watch in its butthole. So these are all obviously bits from the film.
I'm surprised nobody did a I'd buy that for a dollar if they sold this.
Sorry, I gave a genuine quick take this time. Sorry.
You know, I don't think there's any sane way we can go point by point on this. So I feel like this whole thing is going to just sort of be a conversation about some of the stuff that happened. We don't need to go through the whole plot line of RoboCop. I think everybody
You've
knows
all seen it.
But I do believe, Paul, you have not seen RoboCop?
That is correct. And yeah, it's just one of those things that slipped through the cracks for me. And I offered, you know, I'll go ahead and watch the original film in preparation for this episode. And you said, nah, don't do it.
Right. Because I think, okay, so Chris You're pretty familiar with the RoboCop.
I hadn't seen the original RoboCop since probably when it came out. Early 90s. Okay,
but you rewatched it, yeah?
But I did watch, after I watched the remake, I did watch the original.
Okay,
so now I'm familiar with it.
We've got both ends of this. So, Paul, can you just briefly, just a couple sentences, summarize what RoboCop is about?
No, I can't, actually. Because it's very difficult when, I mean, let's just point out briefly that Jay and myself, for an episode of Quick Takes a little while back, did Shrek Retold, which is in the same exact style as our RoboCop remake. And that was as much of a fever dream as this is. But having not seen RoboCop, I'm like, what is happening?
Well, just try it. Indulge me.
I want to hear what Paul thinks RoboCop is about, based solely on this movie.
It's actually pretty easy. There's a cop who gets shot and dies, and then some government scientists or whatever with Robotech turn him into RoboCop, and he becomes this crime fighter who is sworn or programmed, I guess, maybe to, you know, clean up the streets and protect the citizens of Detroit. And, you know, shoot people's dicks off.
When we say that, you know, it's a jumbled mess fever dream and all these different filmmakers, you know, each took a scene and did something different with it. Mm-hmm. It's not only, like, it's not all live action. Much of it is animation. Any, you know, yes, using of action figures to reenact things. Every different style.
There's one scene that I think is actually really interesting is that it's played, the whole scene is played as a commercial for these little children's Playmobil toys done up like RoboCop. Mm-hmm. Just a nice little take.
So when we kick things off, it's we'll breeze through it. But I mean, there's, we got to talk about these bits, man.
We got to talk about the crazy CGI dicks. There are more dicks in this movie than the notorious dick scene.
We kick off the news where, for some reason, I don't remember, because I did not rewatch RoboCop. I've seen it. I did not rewatch it. So we've got Paul, who's never seen it. Me, who has seen it, but not for years. Chris, who's recently seen it. And Mike, I don't know where you fall on that.
Sorry. During when you guys were having that conversation, I was having a throat attack of just oregano or something because of the spaghetti. But that's fitting. I have seen RoboCop a good handful of times, but it has been probably 5-6 years or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, dude, we come into a newscast setting up, like, I don't know, Detroit situation, but the newscasters are all eating these huge plates of spaghetti and just slurping them down. Just.
We'll be back in a noodle.
Oh man, it's so amazingly gross.
I did laugh during the spaghetti scene, but man, that, the cartoon locker room scene.
Oh God, yeah. That's the one done by the guy from the Exigency, right?
It looks like it. It's done by John Watts, actually. But yeah, it looks like it's the Exigency. It's that same kind of like poser animation or something.
Yeah, and all the voices are provided by computers, and everyone's naked.
I will tell you what we should do. We should strike. Fuck them.
My wife asked when I watched this scene earlier today. She asked if crap, why am I drawing a blank on fucking the robot scientist's name?
The robot scientist?
Never mind. Just
there's the RoboCop.
The RoboCop, the scientist, yes.
Yeah, RoboScientist.
Stephen Hawking. She thought she wanted to know why Stephen Hawking was in RoboCop.
That's a robot scientist?
Yes.
Because of the CGI voices.
Yeah. Well, see, Mike, what happened is Stephen Hawking, he had a disease that put him in a wheelchair, and then he was shot by some gangsters, like totally blown away, and they rebuilt him in a sort of robot scientist body so he could be like a super scientist and discover lots of things.
Can someone clarify for me in the original RoboCop film, is there a scene where half of the police force is in full uniform and half of them are completely naked?
No. I mean, the scene is in the movie, but they're in like towel. I mean, you see like a couple sets of breasts, but most of the naked people in the remake are actually just wearing towels in the original movie.
And it's just Murphy
yeah.
being acquainted with the precinct, more or less. That's all that's really happening.
But in this CGI version with naked people, you see full peepee. And the best part is that when they turn around, you see like butts, but you see like the undercarriage of the balls underneath the butts. And I think there's even a little butthole in there, too.
Probably is. I mean, you got to have a butthole for someone to leave their watch in, so...
Yeah. That's so true. This in a way, this is the RoboCop butthole cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there is way more full frontal male nudity than there is female nudity in this film.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Way more.
Well, depends on how you look at it, I suppose. We'll get there right after we take Mike to the hospital.
We'll put him on a gurney and the doctors can wheel him around and the body will fall off. They'll stick him back on and they'll run back through and then he'll fall off again every time they turn a corner.
That was funny. That was one of the funniest parts.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Another part I found funny that was just a couple scenes later is I referred to it earlier. Was the RoboCop fiery steak footlong with habanero yeah. justice sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a lawyer interrupts a scene. To tell us not to watch this movie because it's illegal.
Yeah.
That was great, actually, because, you know, like I just finished watching this like 5 minutes before we started recording. So all this is pretty fresh for me. And that scene, I was sitting there watching it. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be set up. And I was I was getting bored at the exact moment that guy came on screen and said, don't worry about this scene.
Yeah, it's very creative.
The actual movie, it's just like some dudes talking in an elevator. And it sets some stuff up, but it's all exposition. And it goes on for probably a little too long.
But yeah, that's the thing. I imagine that portions of this movie were difficult for the creators of our RoboCop remake to come up with something funny, because I mean, it's an action movie, you know, there's probably not a lot of humor in some of these scenes. And so to find ways to make it interesting to watch is a difficult thing to do. Personally, I think that it was, you know, mixed results in some spots. Yeah.
I think it's inevitable that in this type of thing, you're going to get that. There's so many contributors.
Mm-hmm. It really did pay off in the next scene, though, with the boardroom scene where they introduced the Ed 209.
I mean, probably one of the most impressive. Yeah.
I thought they actually got like a model from the actual movie or something for a moment and did some sort of stop motion thing or.
For Ed 209?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is where Ed 209 enters the boardroom. They debut him, and he blasts somebody away on accident. Yeah.
Well, a puppet in this version, because there are puppets scattered all throughout this scene. Genius.
It's genius. And I actually found a video of the people who made that segment and the work they put into creating a fake Ed 209. It had like a steel endoskeleton. That they put cardboard and like plastic. We will link the video.
Yeah,
it's about 17 minutes, but it's nuts. Great. The lengths they went to make this awesome looking Ed 209.
That's what's so great about this particular scene is that the robot looks great, but then there's puppets for no reason. And the entire boardroom is made of really shitty cardboard. Oh, so yeah. It's like really impressive stuff mixed with really stupid stuff.
And I love that.
That's a great.
And when Paul, when you say cardboard, it's not like they tried to disguise cardboard.
No.
It's cardboard.
Yeah,
obviously.
Like somebody exits the room at some point and the whole wall like almost comes down.
Even the prop gun that the puppet, there's two puppets. There's the one that gets shot and then there's the one, the head of OCP.
Oh, there was a third puppet with a scientist trying to stop. Yeah. You know,
and there was a fourth puppet that was doing the stenographer.
Oh yeah.
There was, right. It was okay. So there's around. Lots
it was
of
like a,
puppets.
I don't know if it was 50-50, but it was like, yeah, a handful of puppets and a handful of humans.
Yeah.
But also ED 209 or whatever is a puppet also. Did we say that? It's a puppet.
Technically. Yeah. There's a guy. It's a guy inside and you can see his legs.
It's a puppeteer doing the thing inside of it. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. The guy even whispers at some point. Someone goes,
"You can see his legs.
You can see its legs." It's so good. It's in like black spandex, you know, like a puppeteer would have, you know, because they don't want to be as obvious. So they're black spandex legs coming out between the legs of the robot.
Or if you've ever seen there's like people who dress in really realistic like velociraptor costumes and you can see their black legs in the costume.
That I love though that the thing fucking shoots the puppet for like 20 minutes. and
oh yeah, the engineer runs up to try to stop it and it like knocks him away and keeps shooting.
And the puppet, instead of blood spewing out, it's feathers just stuffing just flying out. It's so great. Oh god.
The guy selling, the guy who's supposed to be selling the product of this killer robot is like, every time, like a scientist hits it with a chair and he leans over to the CEO, he's like, "That chair's not going to do anything to his titanium exoskeleton." Like, it's fucking great.
You remember how they finally stop Ed 209?
They kick him in the balls, in the puppeteer's balls. Like, that's it's so good.
Oh, God.
And I will say, I feel like everybody was really creative in how they handled the extreme violence of RoboCop.
Yeah.
One being the puppet, the second one being the dance. We'll talk about that. But I did notice Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know was in several of these.
Mm-hmm.
The first being when Boddicker's gang is in a van and Murphy and his partner are chasing them.
God
damn. And they throw him out of the van.
Can you fly, Bobby?
Can you fly, Bobby?
Yeah.
Yes, he can.
Everyone who played Boddicker in this thing was great, too. They really heightened. Yeah. I mean, Boddicker was a great villain in the original movie, and they just took the elements that made him crazy and just amplified them in every single scene. And it's... Yeah. Oh. It's so good.
I'm assuming that in that scene in the real movie, somebody gets thrown out of the back of the van.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in this scene, this is maybe my favorite. I don't know.
Really?
Because it's so good because you got Murphy and I forget his partner's name.
Lewis.
Okay. Murphy and Lewis are tailing this like truck that's got the criminals in it, right? Down the highway. And they decide, while that's happening, Lewis is telling Murphy, a.k.a. RoboCop, that she's like, "I don't think we should go at it alone, because I get this weird feeling that if we do, you're going to get shot up by the gang members and turn into some kind of cyborg, and then you're going to try to hunt down all the individual crime members and try to find your humanity." It's like just telling the rest of the story. And then, one guy gets thrown out the back of the van to stop them. Except when he's asked, "Can you fly, Bobby?
Can you fly, Bobby?"
He does fly. The song "Fly Like an Eagle" starts. And he soars into the sky until Murphy shoots him down. And he slams.
Complete with like VHS or VH1 style little credits in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Left
yeah. It's Seal. So good. It's just really meta, but also silly, and just, I don't know, it's a pretty good joke. I really like it.
Yeah, good scene.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you get a couple different scenes of Lewis and Murphy chasing the gangsters around and fighting them until Murphy is captured. And, well, Chris, I think you referenced it first, how they handle Murphy's extremely violent death.
Oh, God, it's through interpretive dance, basically. It's... just so weird and off the wall, but the music's kind of good and the dancing is a little silly, but at least mostly professional looking. And it's
I would say that it was professionally executed.
Yeah,
it's weird, but
it's
this
so
whole
weird.
Thing is weird.
Yeah, like, you know, when Murphy's hand is shot off, there's like a little red, like, I don't know, like handkerchief
scarf
or something kind of, you know, flies up into the air. And it's just...
yeah.
It's kind of like a stage production of a death with dancing.
It's a modern dance type thing by Team Tiger Awesome is who
very
did that.
Very classy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really great.
Kept it
though,
classy.
Leading really up to this amazing dance scene, this is where we get the Playmobil fight scene with the characters recreating it. But then between these two is actual babies beating each other up.
Yes. And they have the original voiceover for the movie.
Yeah, they just use the movie's audio and just make babies do the actions of beating each other up.
And like, some of them are having a good time. Some of the babies are crying and don't want to be doing it.
And you can see the parents holding the babies up.
I'm like, where did they get all these babies? There's like, I know, right? 6 or 8 babies in there.
It's L.A. People be fucking.
That was probably one of my favorites, though, too.
Another great one is the following scene after Murphy's blown up. And they rush him to surgery. We did reference this one earlier, where he keeps falling off of the gurney.
Yeah.
And they go to fix him, and they're like trying to intubate him and stuff. And they start with tubes and things, and then they just start shoving ropes down toward the camera and like hoses and stuff.
It's a real weird scene.
Yeah, it's totally weird. And Murphy's having these flashbacks. And he sees a clown with his family. Yeah. Just random stuff. And then one of the doctors confesses to leaving his watch in RoboCop's butthole.
Oh, I left my watch in a butthole.
I'm assuming that, you know, the direction for all of these different filmmakers and creators was probably pretty minimal, right? Like, here's the scene that you're doing. Do the whole scene. But probably other than that, I mean, a lot like Shrek Retold, it's like, do whatever you want, right?
It's, yeah, I imagine. Though, unlike Shrek Retold, this, I think, was a more slightly reined in production in the sense that it wasn't just give us something. There is some editing, especially with flashbacks, where you see scenes from that were previously in the thing. So there's a little bit of cognitive, but I bet like they just were, just do the scene. It'll be fine. And there's little snippets of the actual movie sometimes in between to help, I don't know, bring you back into what's supposed to be happening to help the joke effectively.
It's to like keep you anchored, because if you don't come back to that every now and then, it gets to be, it probably would have been too much to figure out what was going on the entire time, because you have different actors playing the different characters all the time, and it can be difficult to, you know, be jumping around so much.
Totally agree.
And I also noticed, Mike, that there's a lot of different actors who play RoboCop, but they use a RoboCop suit over and over and over again.
They had to have passed it around, right?
Yeah, they passed that thing. That was like, okay, who has the RoboCop suit? Can we borrow it this weekend? Because we got to shoot ourselves. Because it's like, for Shrek Retold, you slap some green paint on somebody's face or do whatever you want, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's Shrek.
Yeah.
For RoboCop, it's like, well, how do you build a RoboCop costume? You know, I mean, like, some, obviously there's one scene that did an amazing job, but for some of it, it's literal tinfoil. So that's all over the map too.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, which scene was the amazing one?
We'll talk.
We're almost there.
We're almost to the scene that, if you know of this movie already, you know the scene.
But first, we got to talk about baby food. Is that a bit in the real movie?
Yeah,
gotta be.
Is okay. I was
tastes like baby food.
Okay,
I mean, you don't get the airplane into the mouth part.
Is this this is where the scientists turn him on, sort of for the first time, where they start partying?
Party scene. Yeah,
yeah.
We have the group of scientists, and they start going nuts and having a New Year's party in front of RoboCop, who's just sitting there.
You get that
with a drug dealer.
You get that dealer? Oh, he's great.
Shit, me and RoboCop, the only two keeping this party going. All right.
And things get progressively crazier, and then they realize RoboCop has seen it all, and they can't delete it. Everything that he's seen.
That's a pretty good guy tries to kiss his memories away.
Oh, right. He wants to kiss him.
Hold my dick. I got to kiss him to wipe his memory. Hold my dick.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Fucking RoboCop, brother.
See, this is some of the stuff that didn't quite land for me. And I'm trying to figure out if it's because I'm not familiar with the original film or if it just wasn't my brand of humor or what.
Probably brand of humor. There's not much in that scene that really references the actual movie.
Yeah.
It's just mostly playing on RoboCop just being woken up and seeing things and people talking to him.
And why the fuck they would have the New Year's party in front of RoboCop.
Yeah.
So the also so the listener knows, there each scene starts with a credit. It's like scene 20. Well, this is scene 22, Jason McCarrick. So it gives you like the writer or creator of that scene. And so you kind of get an idea of who's doing it. Kind of gets people credit along the way, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for saying that, Mike, because as I'm watching this movie right around here, there's a scene and it's three shots long.
Oh, yeah.
But the credit on it is Nicholas Refn or Nicholas Winding Refn. Like, he's done big films.
Big stuff, yeah.
And he's got three shots, and all it is RoboCop driving away from the station and RoboCop sitting in his car. You just see his head and shoulders. And that's it.
Yeah, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And then it's over.
it's like some synthwave song is playing over it. And it's like, it's fucking beautifully shot and it feels great.
Night Call by Kavinsky.
Yeah, he did, I think he did The Neon Demon, which is a great movie. Oh,
that makes sense.
I think synthwave. That's him.
I just thought it was so unusual that how they got him. I would like to know that story.
I couldn't find any info on if it's actually him or not because Twitter or nothing really said that he did it, but his credit's right there. So
it would be weird if you know, like, why would that not be him?
He probably said, give me the shortest scene. And like, all right, here you go.
Yeah. And I mean, even to get that song, like, Kavinsky, I don't think is, I mean, he's known. So the guy who did the synthwave song. So.
Very strange. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like that little section right there was like Shrek Retold, where there's tiny, tiny scenes in there. You know, some are like a couple seconds long. That was really the only instance in this one where it was like a really short thing.
Yeah. Right. Who wants to talk about the murder boners?
Not me.
This is one of my favorites.
Nope.
Okay, I guess it's Chris then. Paul's tapping out of the murder boner scene.
I mean, I referenced it in my quick take. It's just the scene where the guy is holding up the convenience store and RoboCop comes in and the dude's like, in the actual movie, he's like, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. And it goes on for a hilarious amount of time.
Fuck me.
Yeah, but RoboCop's gotta go to the bathroom, and so like the two convenience store owners and the thief are like, you think he's pooping in there? What, the whole band's a machine? You think they left him the part that poops? And it turns out that RoboCop is just masturbating.
Because
murder gives me boners.
Oh, and for your information, I was in there jerking off. Murder gives me boners.
It's another fairly well-produced scene too. But speaking of well-produced scenes,
oh god, I thought this was an actual clip from the movie.
This is the greatest scene in cinematic history.
Wow.
Sorry, it's just a fact.
It's fair. That's fair.
It's beautifully shot. So well lit. The RoboCop costume is perfect.
It's immaculate.
Yeah.
It looked like it was from the film.
Yeah. Up until you see the full frontal nudity.
Yeah. So it's the rape scene where the two thugs are about to mess with this woman. RoboCop rolls up looking straight out of the 1987 film. And we all know what happens.
So it happens in the real movie.
Yeah.
Aims between her legs, shoots right in the dick. That's how you stop a piece of shit dude.
Yep.
Well, what about more pieces of shit dudes, Mike?
If there's more,
stop them.
Probably. Well, as long as they're not wandering at you trying to rape more women, or just with their dicks out of their pants for no reason, just like lumbering at you like zombies with their, you know, dicks.
Well, what
out.
If they are? What if they are doing that? What if they're hauling women into the scene with their junk full on display? What happens?
Well, you probably would have a 2.5 minute long scene of shooting every one of those dicks and exploding them with explosives. Up close, everyone.
Mike, what if you identify the foremost rapist?
Oh, you mean the ultimate rapist?
Like the rapist boss.
Okay. Like, oh, it's like in a video game. You've defeated all the other rapists. You shot all their dicks off. You made them explode, and they're all grasping and crying and bleeding. And one of them vomits on their dick, probably. It's been exploded.
Their exploded dick, yes.
But at least the foremost rapist is flaccid, right? He doesn't get hard, does he?
Well, if he did get hard, he might yell something like, "Fucking do it!
Fucking do it! Do it!"
Right, there goes the clip.
I really appreciated that. Like, say what you will about foremost rapist, but at least he knew that it needed to come to an end. He wanted this to happen.
Yeah.
Oh. He was excited by the idea of it ending, that's for sure, because you see...
Oh, God.
His penis slowly grows erect and just points straight out at RoboCop saying, well, he literally is saying, just fucking do it.
Right. Goes from like 6 to 9 o'clock. And then...
Oh, and by the way, it's not like he has pulled his pants down. He's just completely naked.
He's not one of the lumbering dick zombies.
No. And I hope we accurately portrayed this scene, because there are like 50 dudes with prosthetic penises.
Oh, well, let me tell you how many exactly get shot off on close-up camera.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I did count. More get blown off. There's more shots that are fired. But from what I counted... a camera close up to a prosthetic dick with an explosive in it that explodes, and we watch blood and everything go everywhere. There are 16 of these.
Yep.
Does that count the guy who vomits on his exploded dick?
Well, no, because I think we do see his dick explode, but then we do get to cut back to him and watch him vomit on his dick.
That's really bad, but it's not quite as bad as the one that just slowly zooms in on the close-up of the guy like holding himself and like kind of like playing with it. Been shot.
He's like
horrible.
He's like trying to put it back together or something.
And again,
this is the best produced scene of the movie.
So it looked like, I don't exaggerate when I say that I thought this was a clip from the actual movie.
Right.
It's
perfect. That well done.
Yeah.
Well, we did it. We got through that one.
I mean, let's just also point out that RoboCop then does call rape.
Yeah.
Like rape crisis counselors or something for all the ladies. And then struggles to get into the car for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It goes,
they let it linger.
It goes from this scene, this ultra-violent, ultra-nudity, dick-blowing scene, to a montage of RoboCop wandering around in the snow in this big city, right? Monologue voiceover talking to his parents, trying to tell him about how good he's doing and how much the other cops like him. But we all know it's the opposite. Like, everything that he says is an exaggeration, like a lie to his parents that they like him. It's the most wholesome scene.
And it was so nice because the other officers have been really nice to me, even though I am just a robo.
But he has that great blue scarf. Yeah, it looks great on him.
I did enjoy seeing him eat at Chipotle.
I felt so bad for this filmmaker, because it's like, oh, they didn't know what they had to follow.
Very true.
I love what it is. I think it's a perfect hard juxtaposition. It's so different. It's so wholesome and sweet against this gritty, weird thing. I laugh. I think it's funny when you realize what's happening. I find just the juxtaposition funny. I think it might
and he
have
does say
for them.
He's writing to Robo Mom and Robo Dad.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Really,
and he
tells
asked,
you what's
and he
going
asked
on.
Them to send some more of that baby food at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Jan and Larry Robo is the name on the letter he sends.
On the letter.
I thought the actors in the next scene were really good actors for the ridiculous stuff they were saying. It's the couple guys in the bathroom sort of talking.
That's one of my favorites, too.
Talking about their boss, and well, the boss is taking a giant dump in the sink.
They're talking about the guy who created the Ed 209. And
Dick
Johnson, the guy,
or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Dick Jones.
Dick Jones.
And the guy who created RoboCop is talking shit about him. You know, it's a scene that's in the movie.
You just pissed off the wrong guy, buddy.
Not as much piss in the actual movie, though.
No?
No.
And, Paul, did you notice who Dick Jones is?
No.
Well, okay, no, you wouldn't have because you didn't see the original film. In the original film, Dick Jones is Jellicoe from Star Trek.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And you know I'm a big fan of Jellicoe, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little clip of him in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our RoboCop remake.
Yeah, yeah, there is a couple times.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yep.
I thought I saw a familiar face, but it was just too quick to put my finger on.
No, there you go.
Bitches, leave.
Yeah, baby!
Coke party.
Oh, the Coke party's amazing.
That's my favorite.
Boddicker's supposed to go kill this guy, Morton.
The guy who created RoboCop.
And Morton just says, hey, we're having a Coke party, do you want to join us? And he does.
Mm-hmm. He's got a grenade, though, because he was going to kill him with the grenade.
Right, right.
I was like, all right, yeah, fine. But then the scene gets very fun.
Well.
They're having a Coke party with a couple models. And what do you do when you've got a lot of Coke and models?
Take your clothes off.
Snort the Coke off the tits.
Yep.
Which was set up previously.
Yeah, balance it, just balancing out a little bit some of the dicks that we got earlier, you know?
So many.
Not much, but a little bit.
But yeah, it's pretty funny because he's got this grenade hanging by his belt.
He keeps dancing, though.
Yeah, he's dancing, and he ends up forgiving the guy, which he totally doesn't do in the film. But he's like, oh, you know, hey, I forgot why I'm even here. This was just great. We should do this more often. And he doesn't notice that the grenade has accidentally come off of his belt. Does one of the girls say something about it? Like, oh, hey, your
one
grenade,
of the guys
or something
says,
like
hey,
that.
Hey, I think you dropped this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... Everything blows up. It explodes so hard, it blows up the White House from Independence Day.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Okay, so the shittiest looking RoboCop in the entire movie is on a scooter and wearing just regular clothes and has like kind of like half of a helmet and that's it. And I have no idea why this is, but they're in Thailand and this guy clearly does not have access to any real actors. So he just uses whoever is around in his particular village to just say lines from the film, and he leaves like all of his direction in, he leaves all of the mistakes in. It's terrible. It's one of my favorite scenes.
It's me, Dick Jones. The lawyer will get you out.
Okay. It's me, Dick Jones. You liar, we'll get you out.
It's just like all the little kids that are laughing and running around the office while he's like, say it again, say it again.
Yeah.
This old woman's on the phone trying to say the line. And she can, I mean, she's not, English is not her primary language.
Right.
Yeah.
And she can barely get out the word RoboCop. And he's like, louder, louder.
It's so good.
And then she's like pounding the desk. And he's like, you don't need to pound the desk. Just say it. But it's all left in there.
You don't have to slap no more. Where is RoboCop?
And I love how, as they're cutting around to the different people, seemingly at random, the filmmaker knew that people were going to look at this and go, okay, where are they? So he started, he puts text on the screen that's like Chinese, Laotian, Thailand.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was, it's so jarring and it's very funny. In a way, I think the more jarring it is between scene to scene, the funnier it gets.
Exactly. And and that's why some of it didn't work for me, because it's like, well, some of them were trying to like keep it cohesive in a way. And, you know, I just think that some of the material lended itself better in certain scenes than others.
Sure. I definitely did enjoy the next scene, though, because I really like the comedian, Matt Bronger.
Yep.
I think he's very funny.
It's also Ryan. That's a Ryan Ridley scene, which people may know. Or if you don't, check him out on Channel 101.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So putting those two together. And in fact, Matt Bronger has a. Am I saying that right?
Bronger? Yeah, Matt Bronger. Yeah.
Matt Bronger He's got a whole bit that I find hilarious in one of his stand-up routines about wanting to order a Jaeger bomb like a gentleman, though, not like a drunken college student. Like, he wants to go to a bar and order one like a gentleman. And the description he uses for what it tastes like is that somebody melted down RoboCop. So, it just stuck out to me. He's got a joke about it. I saw him in this. I was like, oh, that's cool that they got him.
Is that on Soak Up the Night?
I think it's Big Dumb Animal.
Yeah, Big Dumb Animal is a special as well.
If you want to check out his stand-up, which I highly recommend. I think he's a funny guy.
He's got a couple spots. Yeah, he does some good stuff with Channel 101. IKEA Heights is like one of the ultimate fucking shows. That kind
God
of, I think,
damn IKEA Heights.
It like transcended Channel 101. Like, it's one of the ones that became like a thing. One of the things that came outside of that community that people started paying attention to. It's so fucking good.
They shoot inside of IKEA and until they get kicked out, and then they just go to a different part of the same IKEA. Because it's so big, they just keep moving around and shooting illegally.
It's amazing. It is. God.
Yeah. They just use, like, okay, here's a kitchen set. All right, we'll shoot a scene in this kitchen. And, like, people are shopping in the background, and they're, like, having dramatic scenes.
We have a couple other things. Ed 209 squaring off with RoboCop in a video game style.
I love that art style in this animation.
We have a commercial for a giant
the dick robot.
Yeah.
Or the dick dino.
It's the 6000 SUX.
Yeah,
that's George Warrior, right?
That's Willie Roberts did that scene, who's throughout a bunch of, he's a newscaster throughout some of the other newscasting scenes.
Oh, right.
Scenes.
Okay,
can we talk about what I found to be the most surprising cameo, cameo, just actor in the film?
Yeah.
Randall Park as RoboCop.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
He's Channel 101 alum, though.
Is he? See, yeah. I haven't watched Channel 101 enough to know that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But he has a great take on RoboCop.
Oh, fantastic take.
What do you say? It's a sublime take on RoboCop.
God damn it. Well done.
No, I wouldn't.
Dude, okay, I could use an entire movie of Randall Park as RoboCop just shaming people into helping him do things.
Is there something wrong with the back of my head? Oh, I get it. I'm in the friend zone now.
No, you're still really handsome.
Because he's there with his wife, who the actress is his wife.
Yeah.
And he needs help, you know, removing patches on him and stuff, and at one point, he removes part of his leg, and all this just hamburger falls
so
out. And he needs help putting it back in, and makes her pick it up and cram it back into his leg.
So good.
There's gore dripping out of the back of his head from a pipe.
His line of delivery is so great. Like, oops, oh, a little help, please? Or are you ashamed? Just put the clip in. It's much better than my take.
Yes.
Whoops. Little help, please? Or are you ashamed? Oh. Yep. Oh, higher. Higher, please. There it is.
His delivery is so funny. And and yes, he removes it, or he has his partner remove a hatch on his back to reveal a sublime tattoo.
That's right.
And we find out RoboCop loves Sublime.
Yeah. That's canon now.
And then he starts listening to a clip of it. Doesn't he say, like, I want to listen to it or something?
Yeah, he listens to it.
And he starts listening to it. And I really appreciated this as someone who fucking can't stand Sublime.
Insane.
He goes, yeah. I get it, but it doesn't hold up.
We do get a wonderful callback during the credit sequence when they're doing like little outtakes and stuff throughout the credits. The second song in the credits or whatever is Come Original. So,
yeah. And by the way, if you want to talk about great Channel 101 shows, Randall Park's Baby Mentalist,
oh my God,
is a must watch.
Yep.
I'm going to have to look up all his stuff. I think he is amazing. I love him in just about everything I've seen him in.
It's the plot of the hit show The Mentalist, but it's Randall Park's actual baby solving crimes.
It's so good. Oh, he's in IKEA Heights too. He's the other main person in IKEA Heights. So
nice.
Just knock him out right there, baby.
Yeah. And now I hope he gets his own Marvel show, because there's chatter about it.
I've heard
He's in Marvel and DC, isn't he? He's one of the few that's in both.
He's Jimmy Woo in WandaVision, and there was enough of a Twitter buzz that someone was asked to write a pitch for a show surrounding him solving Marvel crimes or whatever, and I would be all over that.
And put Kat Dennings on it too. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Because we have this influence, so our massive influence will get this show made and both of them on it. Yep. I'm sure. So look for that next fall.
Can we talk about Mike McCafferty's thing?
Please. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we can.
I love Mike McCafferty so much. I hope he listens to this. I hope he hears this.
Yeah.
We'll have to tweet at him. Hey, this is a scene put together by what's credited as the Mikes, which is a great combo throughout the Channel 101 thing, too, which is Mike McCafferty, Mike Shevitz, and Mike Stebbins, who do a lot of stuff together. And they're always fucking weird fucking shit, and it's so good.
It's deconstructionist madness.
I mean, you want to talk about maybe my favorite Channel 101 show of all time.
Paul would say it at the same time.
All right, one, two, three.
Oh shit!
Or Quest.
Not Honkers.
Or Quest. Honkers is great too.
He's hilarious. He's just a funny, witty, intelligent person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his scene here, how much time did he spend on this?
That's the thing. It's like, did he not get the memo that there was a time limit and he spent like 3 weeks shooting RoboCop stuff?
I would not be surprised. What this is, it's him introducing his scene in a very meta way.
Hey, you guys, today we're going to talk to you about deconstructionist
thing.
That's
about
the idea
what happens.
And
while he's talking, it fades into like him interviewing somebody, like a trauma counselor or something. And then over that, there's him interviewing.
And then you separate all the individual pieces.
He shows their auditions. Not only does he show rough scenes with them that he shoots, he shows their auditions.
And
it's all blended together.
And he shows them coming into the house to do the audition before they're auditioning. And they don't even know they're being recorded. He's like meeting people. He's meeting muscular men for the first time, and it's being recorded for some reason.
It's off like Craigslist or something. These dudes are just showing up trying to get on in movies.
It's so weird, but it's wonderful.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's if you like this scene, Mike McCafferty and Mike Manischewitz do a bunch of weird shit together that are everything's meta, everything's deconstructed, everything's fucking insane. It's all Craigslist actors. It's all fucking awkwardness, but it's
I almost wasn't satisfied by this because I'm like, wait, just make a whole documentary about this. Like, what is happening here?
It ruins the flow. You just like, okay, the movie's done. Let's just do this now.
Yeah, but I would just, I want, Mike, if you're listening, I want that to happen. Like, full scenes of you, like, harassing people at Dollar Tree, the whole thing.
Yes, dude, oh, thank you. Because there's the whole thing in RoboCop where there's the guy in the commercial that's like, I'd buy that for $1. So Mike dresses up like that character. And if you know RoboCop, you probably know who I'm talking about, the I'll buy that for $1 guy. Mm-hmm. He dresses up like that guy, goes to a dollar store with a model.
I'd buy that for $1. And hey, what else would I buy for $1? Let's go to the dollar store and find out.
But he gets a bunch of stuff and starts talking to the guy at the checkout. And he's like, how much should I buy this for? And the guy's like, it's $1. I'd buy that for $1. He had to have spent weeks on this.
It's crazy. Seriously.
So fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. So putting the Randall Park stuff up against this, I think this chunk was probably my favorite chunk of the movie.
Then
just
you
for
get,
sheer enjoyment.
Then you get another heavy hitter, I believe.
JD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
JD right after this, who not only does some dance thing about baby food jars, but just write and produce a song for baby food jars.
This whole music, they turn it into a musical all of a sudden. Yeah.
To the RoboCop theme song.
Yeah. I think the next one that probably stood out to me was the creative use of action figures with real people's heads.
Yeah, this is so good.
It's when RoboCop and Boniker fight.
They're still singing, right? It's still a musical.
Yeah, it's still a musical. So you see people moving these little action figures, but they've composited real heads on them. In a, I mean, it's obviously fake, but it's done in a very good way.
It looks
done
really good.
So well, yeah.
I did not know that Ed 209 had a family.
Oh, I know. Yeah, well. That's not in the actual movie, but it adds so much depth to that character. And I really feel for Ed 209 now when, in the real movie, when RoboCop comes up with one of those military-grade weapons and blows him to shit, I feel sad. I love the family. It's a takeoff. It's basically RoboCop's family in the real movie, like the whole storyline, like the view, you know, he's watching the little kid. Ed 209 is watching TJ Laser, and the wife is saying all the lines that the wife says in the real RoboCop movie, but done with Ed 209.
They're all Ed 209s.
Yeah, they're all Ed 209s. It's so funny.
Have little Ed 209s.
And they're color-coded. The girl is pink, and the boy Ed 209 is blue. And
it's true. But yeah, he goes into this when RoboCop shoots at him, and it goes slow motion. And he's like, wait, I have a family.
Yeah, it's like his whole life flashing before his eyes before he dies.
Oh, very good. It was very good. And then, you know, it wraps up. RoboCop confronting the actor playing Dick Jones, Dick Jellicoe Jones, for murder, and he shoots him out the window.
Well, HR has to come in first to fire him.
Yeah, right. Oh, how could I forget? Yeah. Of course, the bit.
You can't just fire somebody. You've got to go through the proper channels.
So he is officially fired. RoboCop kills him. And
breakdancing time.
Rating time.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah,
bum,
thank
bum,
you.
Bum, 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 mm-hmm.
Thank
That's
you.
That's not really quite the rating time song, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
You know what? Put me in the mood.
Okay. I know you guys like to take whatever rating score we give and then change it. So I'm just going to let you do that here. But I just have one request. We're going to go 1 to 100, exploding, and then just insert whatever phrase you want for exploding penises.
Okay.
So however you want to say the phrase exploding penises, however you want to do that, then go right ahead. So let me think of where to start here. We're going to start with Chris.
Oh boy.
1 to 100 exploding.
Oh, I got a good
euphemisms
one.
For
I know
junk.
Exactly what to rate this in.
Okay.
But first let me say that, the source is like RoboCop's a great movie. And so they're already starting with a solid foundation. And some of the bits work, some of them don't. And several of them are just gems. They're just fucking amazing. It's worth your time. But the quality is just all over the place. And it did drag a little bit for me in some places. So I think like I said, when I watched this, I hadn't seen the original movie in a long time. So I think it kind of dragged for me. And so my rating will reflect that a little bit. But I did my rewatch after watching RoboCop, so I brought it up a bit. So it's definitely not for everyone, but it's a lot of fun if it's your sort of thing. I think you should at least give it a try. You should watch it. And so I am going to rate this 76, and I'm going to bring this back to the original rating scale. I'm going to give it 76, exploding penis sways.
Oh! Creative. Penis, I like that.
Not pee sways, penis sways.
Very nice. Paul, your move, creep.
Yes. I have never seen the movie, as we mentioned, so I'm a little out of sorts here with some of this stuff. And I will agree with Chris that part of it dragged. You know, we haven't mentioned that it's kind of long. It's like an hour and 48
it's an hour
minutes.
40, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the credits are very long, too, and that's fine. Yeah. But all things said and done, it's close to an hour and 50 minutes. And, you know, that's a little longer than I usually like things. But there are some really funny things, some things that didn't work out so much. I wasn't super crazy about it. I'm going to say 46.
Wow.
But you know what? Actually, this movie does have the greatest scene in cinema history.
Don't forget that.
I mean, you gotta
so
help.
That bumps
help.
It up a full 10 points to a 56. And I'll do, I liked that CGI scene towards the beginning of the film, so I'll go 56 exploding CGI penises.
Nice. Michael.
I loved this fucking thing. I think if you've seen the movie and you like weird, silly, fun, creativity and on board for that kind of shit, you'll love this. If you're at a, if you're hanging out, you're with your buds and you want to watch this thing, fucking throw it on. It's a great watch. 100% easy, fun, good times. I fucking love this thing. Jason Halls, I, Michael Hayes, am going to do this 96 exploding.
Whoa. Whoa.
Robot corpse.
Oh,
what wow. do you got, Jay?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed just the random humor and absurdist kind of stuff. I mean, it totally makes sense what I'm seeing here with the ratings. You know, having not seen RoboCop, yeah, I get it. Like, you're not in on a lot of what's happening.
But that's partially on me, but actually partially on you for telling me to not watch the movie.
Yeah, it's true. I totally take responsibility for it. I thought it would make for a more interesting discussion if we had somebody who'd never seen it, someone who has.
And did it, Jay?
It did.
Did you succeed?
Yeah, I think so. Right.
I feel like I succeeded. I feel good about this.
Paul, you should watch it now, though, because it is by the guy who did Showgirls, so you'll love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely watch
I'll probably watch all of them, to be honest.
I do agree that it's a little long for what I would have liked. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I do get that. So let's see. It came out in 1980. The original movie came out in 1987.
You don't have to give it a six at the end if you don't want
but
to.
But what if you did?
Well, it'll be fun if you do.
I'm going to give it 86.
Nice.
Dick. Exploding Dick Joneses.
Okay. Oh, look at that portmanteau of sorts.
Wow. That's what I'm doing.
But you have to do Dick Exploding Dick Joneses.
Yeah, you did stumble.
We'll like keep my flub in there. Yeah. Yes.
And by the way, let me just say, even though my slightly lower score, let me just give props to all of the creators involved, because obviously a lot of people put hard work into this thing, and props for pulling the whole thing together, because there's so much creativity in this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Now, if I could end this by asking you guys one more question, I'd like to know if you could pick a movie to be remade by fans in this style, what would you pick?
I got one. I know. Wizard of Oz.
Ah.
Nice.
That'd be fun.
That really would be good. Chris, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, man. It's tough because I would really love to see Star Wars done like this.
Mm.
But I would also really like to see The Mist.
Ooh, oh, that would be weird.
Puppets?
With puppets.
Oh, that would be weird. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, this would actually be really easy to do is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home would be great. The whales and everything, you know?
Well, now you got to keep the whole thing in, Jay.
That scene where Scotty doesn't know what a mouse is. That's great.
We're laughing, and computer. I can't tell you why, hello, listeners. Computer. I'm sorry.
Puppet? Hilarious.
Well, if I got to pick, I came up with a couple that I thought would be fun. One being Die Hard. Die Hard could be a lot of fun. And Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
I think would be pretty nuts.
I see Aliens. Aliens would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Good pick.
Anything Jim Cameron's done, I think, would be ripe for this sort of thing.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
Jim Cameron? Are you on fucking Jim terms with James Cameron?
Yeah. I'm going to give him a call and see if he wants to redo Titanic with, like, a crowdfunded, crowdsourced one scene per director version of Titanic.
Michael, what do we have next time?
Cut the robos. We're done with the robos. It's time to get sweet, my friends.
Ooh.
Because, well, not for you, Paul. I know you just said something, but you're not invited to this ice cream party we're going to have.
Oh.
Because Paul, you're going to take that jetpack elsewhere for next episode, because we, Crazy Chris Hudson, Jason Holes, and the boys over at Blockbuster Film School are going to watch Ice Cream Man, starring Clint motherfucking Howard.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Paul, you're allowed to watch if you want, but you can't record with us.
I'm pretty much lactose intolerant at this point, so it's okay.
That's fair. And that's why we're doing this. It's not because we're trying to be mean to you. It's for your safety.
Well, I am going to be on their program.
Yes, you are. We're going to have a bit of a crossover. All of us are. They have asked for everyone, so good luck editing.
Yep.
But, yeah, yeah, we're doing a crossover with Blockbuster Film School, and they are fucking awesome dudes, and their podcast is really fun and really informative, and we're going to talk about Ice Cream Man on ours, and then we're going to do a crossover with them where we're going to talk about just Clint Howard's career and aura in general. We're just going to do a general Clint Howard talk with them.
Are we going to talk about how much Clint Howard looks like RoboCop with his face mask off?
I hope you remember to bring that up, because then yes.
You can't go wrong with Clint.
No, Clint's
great.
You
also can't go wrong with our t-shirts on store.bmoviemania.com.
Nice.
That's true. There's some beautiful hoodies even, too. It's weather's warmed up, and I'm personally wearing a nice light zip-up hoodie that is so comfortable. I was showing it to the boys earlier. They're all jealous of it. It is very comfy and very beautiful, and we got a bunch of cool stuff on the store. Just store.bmoviemania.com. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing the boxer briefs with Mike's face on the crotch.
That's not a product.
Damn it.
But what is our... I'm really boofing our transition here. Please give us a good rating on any podcasting service you might use.
Yeah.
That you're listening to this on. We really appreciate it, and it helps us out. And
we've gotten some nice comments and reviews lately. Thank you all very much for that.
Yes, we really appreciate that.
If you're someone who appreciates the fact that you can listen to this show without us telling you know, which politicians are good and which politicians are bad. FYI, fuck Trump, fuck Republicans, fuck QAnon, fuck you if you support any of that. Eat shit.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B Movie Mania. Woohoo!
This has been great, you guys. I'll see you. I can't remember why I came here, but this was fun. See you later.